Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Thursday, September the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. All right, gang, we're in Romans. We're not roaming, we're running. But really, we're going slow. We're taking our time. We got 13 weeks here. We're in week one of 13. This is the deep dive. I know a lot of you folks out there are doing BSF this fall who is also doing Romans. So I'd love to hear some note comparisons and see how things may be aligning or maybe not. Anyway, it's time to open up this meeting with Jesus today. So let's begin with consecration. He's here. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's text is entitled, From a Burning Bush to a Burning House. Our scripture text is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Okay, brace yourselves. This is a wake-up call. Hear now the word of the Lord. The wrath of God, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals, and reptiles. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Chapter 1 of Romans takes us on quite a journey. Yesterday, we stood together in of the burning bush of the New Testament. Today and tomorrow, we will stand in shock before a burning house. Here's the burning bush. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, to the burning house. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The real dilemma we must solve here at the outset, as it relates not only to the letter to the Romans, but to our very hearts and homes and churches and cities, is this one. where will we focus? Will we focus on the burning house or the burning bush? Will we focus on the problem of sin or the power of the gospel? Will we focus on the crucified, risen Messiah or the chaotic mess in the world and our lives? Will we focus on the diabolical problem of sin and its myriad manifestations, or the singular solution of salvation in Jesus Christ? The seduction is to think you can choose both. To try and choose both is to choose neither. It is to wind up stuck in the eddies instead of flowing in the river. An example is to get stuck in Romans 7 instead of moving in Romans 8. Okay, that's down the line, but just giving you a heads up. We will not deny sin here. We must not. Sin is undeniably real. It is diabolical and devastating, yet it is a distraction. Sin's most deceptive and successful strategy is to consume the conversation and crowd Jesus out. We can't deny sin's reality, but we must deny sin our focus. We must reserve our unfettered and undeniable focus for Jesus himself, only, ever, and always. Let's pray. Jesus, we belong to you. We've already said it today. Jesus, I belong to you. And as we enter into the abyss of sin, we want to fix our eyes on you. We are sinners, which is to say we are profoundly susceptible to distraction and deception. We want salvation, not just a little bit, but comprehensively. We know this salvation will not come by focusing on sin and trying to defeat it, but by being fixed on Jesus, who has defeated sin, and on belonging to him, believing more, beholding deeper, and thereby becoming completely his. Come, Holy Spirit, and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus like never before. We're praying in his name. Amen. Journal prompts today. Do you find yourself wanting to talk more about sin in yourself, in other people, in the chaotic, broken world around us, than about Jesus and the comprehensive solution of salvation? Guys, it's very easy for a conversation to quickly devolve into all the problems in our lives and in the world. And oh my gosh, if you get around a group of Christians for very long, they're going to want to talk about the problems in the church. Oh, the church this, the church that. We just need the church to do this. And what's happening in those conversations isn't necessarily wrong. It's just adjacent to the thing we need to be talking about, which is Jesus Christ himself, which is the gospel, the good news. That actually sin has lost, right? Sin has lost its power. The Bible says it clearly. Death has lost its sting. So why are we giving it so much focus? No, we can't deny it. Absolutely not. But friends, we've got to get our eyes on Jesus. We've got to become more than a little bit obsessed with Him. I mean, He is the prize. His life is the life. And He wants to, Romans is the story of how Jesus wants to come into our lives and completely renovate us from the inside out. Yeah, sin is real. Yes, we got problems. But the gospel is that there is a solution that is so profoundly greater than the problems that if we can just get our focus tilted, right? The old way. I spent too many years in what I call the believe and behave approach to the gospel. Just believe the right things and just try harder. Behave, try harder, do more, be better. It turns out to be a little self-improvement program with some Jesus dust sprinkled on the top. No, that's the title of this whole study. It's called From Sin Management to Love Unleashed. And if you focus on sin, you're just going to try to manage it. But if you focus on Jesus, that's what we're doing here. Love will become unleashed, loosed in your life, and then through your life into the world. It's contagious. And the whole notion about like, you know, we got to focus on sin and we got to focus on Jesus. No, you can't. You can only focus on one thing. I mean, you can't look at two things. Try looking at both of my hands. If you're watching this on video, you maybe think you see both of them, but really you don't. You're not focused. You can only focus on one thing at a time. So, you picking up what I'm laying down here? We're shifting from believing and behaving. Here's the new way of the gospel: beholding and becoming. Okay? Getting our whole lives fixed and focused, beholding Jesus, because you behold the one whom you become. The one whom you behold. So to do that today, I'm just going to lead us in a song. It's a simple song. It's Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We'll sing it through a couple times. It's in our hymn book. It is on page 670 in our hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise, 670. Sing it through twice. You ready? I may throw in another chorus along the way here. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Did you hear that? When you focus on Jesus, the brokenness, the problems become dim. They lose their luster. They lose their focus. Let's sing it again. Just let yourself do the thing we're singing here. Just be focused on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Just hear this word. This is from Paul in Colossians. Just keep your eyes closed and focus here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you remain steadfast in your faith, established and not moved from the hope held out for you in the gospel. This is the gospel which you have heard and which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. And the Bible says, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. I like to say, and of which I, John David, have become a servant. And I want you saying your name in there. And of which I say your name, have become a servant. That's turning our eyes upon him. That's getting our focus on him. Let's sing it one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, we're going to hold that fix, that focus all day long. It's time to head out on the fields. Get your seeds. It's time to sow. It's time for demonstration. It's time for, and you're not going out to do it. Jesus is going to do it. He's going to do it through you because he's already doing it in you. Gang, get your seeds for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt, and I'll see you on the field.